Hello, everybody. Hey, this is Cal Banyan again, MABCH, coming from Tustin, California. Glad to have this opportunity to provide this webcast or broadcast or podcast, whatever you want to call it. A little bit about myself in case this is the first time you've, quote, tuned in. I'm the one who developed the five-pass system of hypnotherapy, developed and wrote the seven-pass self-hypnosis system. I'm the author of The Secret Language of Feelings and also Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy, Basic to Advanced Techniques for the Professional, which I co-authored with the fabulous Gerald F. Kine. I've also authored many other CDs, DVDs, and course materials, and I have a running column in the National Guild of Hypnotists Journal of Hypnotism. All right. Let me just get a couple announcements in here. By the way, I'd love to have you all visit calbanyan.com, which is more news and opinions, and also some money-saving specials that we have there from time to time. Also, I'd love to have you stop by at hypnosiscenter.com, which is packed full of information about hypnosis, many articles in our archive and scripts, and information about professional hypnosis training. Additionally, we have the BanyanHypnosisMall.com, and there's tons, just tons of professional development books, CDs, DVDs, etc., free articles, audio programs, like the Meet the Pros program, where you can actually partake at your leisure a number of different hypnosis seminars presented by many professionals in our profession. All right. Also, if you're in our area and you're thinking about using hypnosis yourself to, make some kind of positive change in your life, please come to www.banyanhypnosiscenter.com. We've also got the Hypnosis Information Line with free recorded information about hypnosis, the secretlanguageoffeelings.com, which is information about the Secret Language of Feelings book, and, of course, our www.theseventhpath.com, which is information about that special mind-body-spirit self-hypnosis program called The Seventh Path. All right. Enough of that kind of stuff. Our goal when we do these podcasts is to provide information for all hypnotherapists and especially the five-pathers, and even for those who are not yet into the profession but thinking about becoming a professional hypnotist or hypnotherapist. All right, I've got a couple of topics. One I think is going to be rather controversial, and then the other one's going to be educational. Well, gosh, they're both educational. First off, our topic is going to be why we need to eliminate unaccredited degrees from our profession. The second topic will be the Ellman-Banyan induction, and I'm especially going to talk about the eyelid relaxation versus eyelid catalepsy and why that particular induction should be the bread and butter induction for hypnotherapists around the world. All right. Now let's go ahead and get started with my very first topic. All right. Let me talk to you, professional to professional. As I said on my blog just a couple of days ago, anyone who has been through one of my classes knows I am serious about ridding our profession of unaccredited degrees. Now, there's two kinds of unaccredited degrees out there. First is the degree mill kind of degree, where you send in a certain amount of money, you don't have to do anything, and they'll send you a nice little certificate. It's obvious we don't want those. Where the controversy is these other kinds of programs out there that will require you to do some reading and have you do a, quote, dissertation or project, and then give you a doctorate in hypnotism or a doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy. This must be stopped. It must be stopped. I want to encourage everyone to read the article I'm providing a link to from my blog so that you can avoid the kind of problems that Paul McKenna in the UK has experienced, as well as the embarrassment that it has caused him and our beloved profession. Okay, I want to make this very clear. I have never met Paul McKenna. This is not an attack on Paul McKenna. He's probably a really great guy. but rather I am going out and I'm trying to spread the word. I want to get the idea out that hypnotists should go out and seek real degrees. If you think you need a degree, then go get a real degree. You are 1,000 times better off with a degree in counseling or psychology or nursing or some kind of physical or occupational therapy, because it's a real degree. Most of them will allow you to get a license and to legally practice in your state or other location. But we want to rebel against these phony degrees. There, I said it. I said it. Phony degrees. They hurt everyone. They hurt everyone except the guy who runs the, quote, school and collects the, quote, tuition. That's the only one that these phony degrees help. Let me tell you what I think. Unaccredited degrees hurt the individual because it gives that person a false sense of security and feeling that they've accomplished something of real academic value, which she is not. As a matter of fact, in our profession, when a hypnotist announces that she has a doctorate in hypnosis or hypnotherapy, most of her colleagues just laugh, especially those that have been around the profession for a while. They laugh, either to her face or, unfortunately, behind her back. Those of you who have that doctorate or PhD in hypnosis or hypnotherapy, you are only fooling yourself. If you've got that somewhere on your website or your brochures or to articles or books, I ask you, for your own sake, for the sake of the profession, for the sake of the public, get rid of it. Bury it. Burn it. Get rid of it. Unaccredited degrees hurt the profession because it provides ammunition for other professions to attack us. Believe me, MDs and PhDs and the other professions, such as psychology, counseling, and so on, laugh at these unaccredited degrees and those who hold them. They are a pox on our profession. And no professional in psychology or medicine will want to be associated with you once they learn that you have a phony degree. Unaccredited degrees hurt the public because they are misleading. Unless you mention every time that you talk about your PhD, either in a talk or when you write that you have a PhD, okay? Unaccredited degrees hurt the public because they're misleading. Unless you mention every time that you talk about it or write about it that you have that degree, that it is not accredited. In other words, if you say, "Hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so, my doctorate's not real. It's an unaccredited degree that really manifests only in my own mind." If you say anything less than that, you're misleading the public. And it is a code of ethics breach, as far as I'm concerned. Every time you mention that you have a PhD in hypnotism or hypnotherapy from some kind of organization in the United States, at least, you must tell the person you're talking to or that is reading your brochure or visiting your website that it is not a real academic or accredited degree. Otherwise, you're misleading the public, and that's bad for everybody. Hint, there are no real degrees offered in the United States of America for hypnotherapy, particularly not a PhD. I wish there were. Someday, there will be. None of the degree programs you hear about are recognized by any real college or university. Don't believe me? Spend the money, get your DCH or whatever PhD degree there is out there in hypnotism, and see if any of those credits will transfer to a state college or other properly accredited university. They won't. Well, there, I've said it. I've got it off my chest. It's on record. Everybody knows where I stand with regard to the unaccredited degrees. Now, if you agree with me or you disagree with me, I welcome you to go to calbanyan.com. Go to the comments section and make a comment. Or you can email me at calbanyan@hypnosiscenter.com. Or if you don't like what I'm saying, complain to someone. But I'll tell you what, I think most of you know that that is the doggone truth. Okay, good. Now I'm ready to get on to our next topic, the Ellman-Banyan hypnotic induction. This is an excellent induction which will outperform eye fixation and progressive relaxation inductions because it is efficient, reliable, and has a built-in test. Okay, actually a couple of tests. A test for compliance at the beginning of the induction and one for the depth of hypnosis, specifically somnambulism. Now, first, I want to tell you, the original induction was written by Dave Ellman, which can be found in his classic book, Hypnotherapy. We've got it available on our BanyanHypnosisMall.com website and also HypnosisCenter.com website. It is a classic. Anyone serious about this profession should have that book on their shelves. Okay. But even though it is classified as a modern and rapid induction, as I started using it with a number of clients and also encouraging our hypnotherapists to begin using it with a number of clients, I decided that it needed some updating to make it more efficient and more reliable. Now, as I go through this particular little talk on the Ellman-Banyan induction, keep in mind that I will not be able to go through it in as much detail as I do in class. I spend a couple of hours talking about just this induction and pretty much answer questions and coach people on it throughout the course. This is one of the main inductions that you would learn in our course, in addition to instant inductions, covert testing, and so on. All right. There is an article on the HypnosisCenter.com website in our free articles section where I go over some of these details also. So if you want kind of a written form of this in front of you and a written form of the induction in front of you in case you want to use it for sessions, please go to our free articles section on the HypnosisCenter.com. Okay. I'm going to turn the page and I'm going to go over to the place where I have this induction. I'm going to talk about it in step by step. Okay. First of all, before you do any hypnotic induction, you want to do a good pre-talk because you want to prepare the client by answering their questions about hypnosis. You want to remove any fears or wrong ideas that they might have about hypnosis. You want to do a good pre-hypnosis interview where you can find out why they're there and that kind of thing. Get to know the client and build some rapport so that they will feel comfortable in proceeding to the next stage. Okay. Now, this induction does have some touching of the client in it. So before you actually start the induction, you want to say to the client, is it okay if I touch your hand, your arm, your shoulder, and maybe even your forehead during the session? Now, in this induction, you really only need to touch the hand, but if you are a five-pather or you want to start using some advanced techniques and become a real one-percenter, you're going to find that getting permission to touch your clients and being able to touch their hand, their arm, their shoulder, and their forehead is essential. Okay, so the induction goes like this. We will hold our hand out in front of the client's face, 18 to 24 inches out in front, and instruct them to look at my hand, take a nice deep breath, and hold it. Now let it out and close your eyes, or let your eyes close. As you do this, make a motion with your hand down and out away from them. Then we proceed with the induction by saying, now take your attention to your eyelids. You can relax your eyelids so much that they just won't work. Once you are sure that you've done that, hold on to that relaxation. Now check them to make sure they won't work. Good. Stop testing and go deeper relaxed. Now send that feeling of relaxation down through your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Okay. Now, you and I, we're going to have a little discussion about that paragraph and that part of the technique, because most hypnotists that are familiar with this induction don't understand something very important. The part where we said, check your eyelids to make sure they won't work, is not a test for a depth of hypnosis. It is not eye lock. It is not a test for eye catalepsy. What it is a test for two things. One, is your client able to relax any part of her body? And we do that test by having her relax her eyelids. It's very easy to do. If the person is once able to relax their eyelids in a way that we can check for the relaxation, then we can use that relaxation in their eyelids as a model for relaxing the rest of their body. So that's what we do. We say, relax your eyelids so much that they won't work. Once you're sure that you've done that, check them to make sure they won't work. And if we can't see them checking, insert the sentence, go ahead and give them a check. Your eyebrows may move, but your eyelids will remain closed. Do that for me now. You want to see that they're actually checking the relaxation. Once they've done that, you've established two things. One, they can create a level of relaxation that can be tested, which can then be used as a model for relaxing the entire body. And second, they are compliant. If they are unable to do that or unwilling to do that, then you have a client who is not compliant, and you need to step back. Is your pre-talk really done? Did you really build rapport? Did you really find out why they were coming in? And is this a change that they want to make? Okay, so that's what I want you to get right there. That is not eye lock. It is a test for the ability to relax and a test for compliance. Okay, good. Now, in class, I'll have more time to explain how to handle it if their eyelids do open. Here's one quick little technique. If the eyes open, look a little bit surprised and smile and say, oh, you just tested them to make sure they would work. Now I'd like you to close your eyes, relax your eyelids, and now check them to make sure they won't work. Okay. Now, I did a little bit of tongue foo in there. And what I'm talking about is, if you notice in that paragraph, I said, hold on to that relaxation. Now check them to make sure they won't work. And I'm speaking of that paragraph in the induction. I don't say test them to make sure they won't work. Some people, just the mere mention of the word test or testing makes them nervous. They become fearful. And so, guess what? Fear inhibits hypnosis. So what we do is we tell them to do something and then check to make sure that they've done it. Then once they've succeeded, now we'll say, good. Stop testing and go deeper. Now we can use the word test or testing, because once you've passed a test, you're not nervous about it anymore. All right. So now we're going to move on down to the next paragraph of that induction. We say to the client, now I'm going to do a check to make sure that you've understood and followed my instructions. In a moment, I'm going to lift your hand and drop it. Allow me to do all the lifting. Just let it be limp and relaxed. Let me do all the lifting, pick it up a few inches, and then you drop the hand in your client's lap and say, good, go deeper. Proceeding to the next paragraph of the induction. Human beings do better with practice, so let's do that one more time. And you'll find that you can go even deeper. Take your attention to your eyelids. Hold on to that relaxation. And sometimes I'll add, just like before. One more time, test them to make sure that they won't work. Then you observe them move their eyebrows or otherwise check their eyelids to make sure they won't work, and you proceed with, good, stop testing and go deeper. Now send that feeling of relaxation that you're allowing in your eyelids down across your entire body, from the top of your head to the tips of your toes, as if you meant to go 10 times deeper. Then the next paragraph of the induction, one more time, take your attention to your eyelids, just like before, test them to make sure they won't work. You observe the test, you say, good, stop testing and go deeper. Now send that feeling down across your body as if you meant to go 2 times deeper relaxed. good. Now, one of the things that people do incorrectly when they do this induction is they run too slowly. I'm going to give you an example of the actual cadence I would use by reading to you one of these paragraphs. I would go, now, take your attention to your eyelids. You can relax your eyelids so much that they just won't work. Once you are sure that you have done that, hold on to that relaxation. Now, check them to make sure they won't work. Good. Stop testing and go deeper relaxed. Now send that feeling of relaxation down to your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. So as you listen to me talk there, you'll see that I don't do it in some kind of monotone, dragging out, slow voice. That is not the way we do a rapid induction. Rapid induction is spoken in a normal rate of speech. A good idea is if you could match the rate of speech or move slightly slower than you observed the rate of speech to be for that client while you were doing the pre-hypnosis interview. So you might deliver it a little bit slower to slow talkers and a little bit faster to fast talkers. That is how they speak gives you a pretty good idea of how quickly and readily they process information. So if you have some gentleman from down south that is a slow-talking, articulate fellow, then you'll want to speak in a slower rate, but not as slow as him. We can listen at a higher rate of speech than we can produce. Also, if you have a 15-year-old girl, she's been multitasking most of her life. She processes information very quickly, and she speaks quickly. You want to approximate her rate of speed when you do the induction. Okay, except for a little bit later in the induction, which I'll talk about. Okay, so now what we've done is we've relaxed the body. We've created a model for relaxation, and we've tested the relaxation, and we know that the body is relaxed. But guess what? Hypnosis is not physical relaxation. In my opinion, this is what we're doing, is we're creating a model for relaxing the mind. Okay, that's what we really want to do. Once we relax the body, then we can essentially say, now we're going to relax the mind. And let me proceed with this induction now. We would say to the client next, now let's relax your mind. Really allow your mind to relax, like your body is relaxed. In a moment, I'm going to have you slowly and softly begin to count out loud, starting with the number one. After each number, let your mind double its relaxation. After a few numbers, it doesn't take long. You'll be able to relax your mind so nicely that the numbers will fade away to nothing, 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 and disappear. Want that? And you can have it very easily. When the numbers are gone, raise your right index finger to let me know how well you're doing. Begin. Now, let me give you some comments about what we just did. When I say your right index finger, I will usually tap on that finger because some people are not so good with their left and right, and they'll get concerned about which finger they're supposed to raise. And so if you just tap on that finger, you go right index finger, tap, 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 then that puts them at ease and you can proceed. Now we will say, begin. The client says, one. Then what I recommend you do is you softly, gently, but firmly touch on her shoulder nearest you and say, good, softer. Okay. And when you say softer, softer. We want to model what we want them to do. Then your client says, two, and you say, slower. So you notice that I say slower, slower. The client says three, and I will say, now double your mental relaxation. Client says four, if they get that far, and I'll say, let them fade away as you relax your mind. If the client gets to five, I will say, double your mental relaxation, fading away to nothing, nothing, nothing. And as I'm saying the word nothing, 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 I will be lightly touching my client's right index finger to remind them to raise their finger when the numbers begin to fade away. Now, also, a couple of cautions. I recommend that you don't use the word numbers when you're suggesting that the numbers fade away. Because with some people, that will remind them of the numbers and they won't be able to get them to fade away. And we continue along with that kind of suggestion until the numbers have faded away. Among some groups of hypnotists and hypnotherapists that use this induction, they will get a little bit uptight about how soon the person should lose the numbers. Some of them will say, gosh, if they haven't lost the numbers by 3 or 4, they're not following instructions, it's not working. And I don't find that to be true. It's not a matter of how many numbers it takes, so much as you should observe the process. Are they following the instructions of the process? When you say softer, do they then say the next number softer? And when you say slower, do they say the next number slower? Or do they just keep marching along? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If they're doing that and they're not following instructions, you don't have a compliant client, and it's just not going to work. We don't want to resort to somehow interrupting the numbers by distracting them or surprising them or something like that. If you have a client that's running away with the numbers, tell them to stop counting and tell them that when you say slower, that they must say them slower, and that when you say softer, they must do them softer, and when you ask them to relax their mind further, they must follow the instructions, that this is really a dance where you're leading and they're following. Some people have the idea that you have some kind of mind control over them, and merely by you saying the word softer, that they would be forced to say the word softer. It would just be automatic, and it's not. At this point of the induction, we want the person to understand that they need to follow instructions. If they go beyond 5 or so, continue to give those same instructions. Softer. If they say a number, slower. And so long as they are doing softer and slower each time, one of two things will happen. They will either lose the numbers, which is a test for amnesia, which is a valid test for the threshold of somnambulism, or they will become aphasic. Aphasia is when they begin to stop speaking because of suggestion. And at that time, we are at the level of hypnosis, stage 3 hypnosis, which is just before stage 4, which is the threshold of somnambulism. All right. So we can then, once they become aphasic, if that occurs, continue to give them suggestions of doubling their relaxation, they're fading away, and going more deeply relaxed, calm, still, and relaxed. And once in a while, just give them that touch on the finger of saying, nothing, nothing, nothing. This suggestion for nothing, nothing, nothing is the perfect suggestion for creating amnesia, because why? Because that is the suggestion for no numbers without saying the word numbers. As soon as the person loses the numbers, we've reached the threshold, the very beginning of somnambulism. And then what we want to do is immediately deepen. So the next part of the script goes like this. In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. With each number that I count, allow yourself to relax so much with each number that by the time I get to 5, it will feel as if we had doubled the relaxation. 1. Relaxation is beginning to double. 2. Relaxation is doubling more and more. And you'll notice in this part, I'm really slowing down my cadence and my tone has become much softer. 3. Relaxation is doubling throughout your entire body. 4. Relaxation has almost doubled. 5. The relaxation has completely doubled from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. Now, at this point, we were at the threshold of somnambulism. We are either more solidly placed into the threshold of somnambulism or reached stage 5 hypnosis, which is full somnambulism, or perhaps with some clients where we may even have approached profound somnambulism. Now, the 5-path hypnotherapist doesn't care whether they're in level 4, 5, or 6. The 6 is better, but we'll be able to use all the cool tools that we need to use, such as age regression hypnosis and parts therapy and these kinds of things, and have sustained long acceptance of suggestions that are just directly given to the client, because we have somnambulism, which is the levels of hypnosis which the clients most readily accept suggestion and which it lasts the longest. Okay, heck, that's it. That is the induction. By the way, the techniques that I give you in these podcasts, on our website, and that kind of thing, really shouldn't be used by anyone who is not at least 18 years old, under the supervision of an adult, or has received sufficient training to do this in a safe way. Preferably people who are certified hypnotists. And those who are not certified, gosh, I'd love to see you in class. There's tons more that I could tell you about this induction, the way to do it, little tips, tricks, and insider techniques to make it work even better than the simple outline that I've given you here today. Once again, I encourage you to use this induction. It is most efficient. It is most reliable. Let me say one more thing before I move on. I see this discussion in different email groups. The relaxation that was created in the eyelids is not a test for eye catalepsy. It is not a test for any level of hypnosis. It is not the eyelock test. The eyelock test needs to be done after the induction is over. Then the eyelid catalepsy test would go something like this. You tell the client, in a moment, I'm going to begin counting starting with the number 1. With each number, your eyelids will twitch and tighten and lock down. 1, eyelids are twitching, tightening, squeezing shut. 2, tighter and tighter, locking down, glued shut, zip tight. 3, tighter and tighter. 4, 5, there they are, locked down, glued shut, zip tight, squeezed tighter and tighter. At this point, you should observe that the eyelids are actually locked down tight, and you say, now you'll try to open them, but you cannot. Try to open them, but you cannot. Try, but you cannot. Once you see that they've tried, again, we want to see some eyebrow movement or something like that, we say, good, stop testing and go deeper. This is a true test for eye catalepsy or eye lock, because we actually locked the eyelids down. We've tightened those eyelids, and we've given them sufficient time to challenge the suggestion. We say, try to open them, but you cannot. Try, but you cannot. And we keep giving those suggestions for trying to open them until we have seen that they have tried. The main reason we do an eye lock test in a session is not to establish the depth of hypnosis. That was done when we lost the numbers in the Ellman-Banyan induction, because that was a covert test for what? Somnambulism, a much deeper state than is required for the eyelock test. The eyelock test was just a convincer. I'm going to talk a little bit more about covert testing and convincers in another podcast down the road. Okay, well, I want to thank you all for being here, and I hope you've learned something. I'd love to get some feedback on calbanyan.com, what you think of these podcasts. If you have questions that you'd like me to address on a podcast, please write me about your questions, topic ideas, and that kind of thing. I hope you will visit all of our websites and learn more about our upcoming hypnosis trainings, especially we have a training coming up at the NGH convention and in August, and I would like to see some of you folks there becoming certified in 5-path and 7-path. We have our regular NGH hypnotherapy certification trainings with 5-path and 7-path coming up periodically. Just visit our hypnosiscenter.com website and you can find about that. If you can't make the convention for our advanced training, the Week of Power training in August, I hope you'll take the one at our center, which is in October of this year. All right. If you have any questions, write me at calbanion@hypnosiscenter.com or call our office at 714-258-8380. Until next time, this is Cal Banion signing off. Bye-bye for now. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.